Welcome to the Bloom Your Mind podcast, where we take all of your ideas for what you want and we turn them into real things. I'm your host, certified coach Marie McDonald. Let's get into it. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 66 of the Bloom Your Mind podcast. How are you all? I wish you could answer me. Email me and tell me or message me. I want to know. How is it going? I'm going to put an invitation out there again. I got a few requests last time. I said, hey, what do you want to hear about on the podcast? And it gave me the great ability to deliver some content for you that was based in what you most want to hear about. And so I invite you again to send that my way because I have this plan for this year and I have a couple gaps in it and I could totally fill it in with something that is your own special request. So let me know if you have anything. This past weekend, I got back from a trip last week to Taos, New Mexico, which was amazing. If you listened to the podcast last week, you heard about grounding techniques that I used in semi-frightening situations there, which of course was all created in my head. And gave you some grounding techniques that you can use in your day-to-day life, in your projects that you're bringing into the world, in the ideas you're making real. Anytime that you start feeling that unease and anxiety that comes from doing something that you haven't done before. And when I got back from that trip, I did the thing that I do when I have had a big expenditure of energy in any way. Whenever I lead a retreat, I do this. When I have big expenditures of energy, I spend a day in the garden. And this day, I repotted my plants. And I then started dreaming about my plants after I repotted them. And I don't think this is normal. Why do I love them so much? I don't know. But I got so much fulfillment from giving them all fresh dirt and fresh pots and fluffing them and fertilizing them. And I have this stag fern. Do you know what that is? It literally looks like it's a male deer with giant horns coming off of it. And I've had it for like 5 years. When I was growing up, I lived in this house where my mom had stag ferns and she would water them and little frogs would jump out all over the place when she would water the fern. That does not happen at my house yet. And saying this to you is making me think maybe I should go find out where I can find a family of frogs to locate to my stag fern. Or maybe they just wouldn't be happy here. I don't know. But anyways, I have this stag fern that started as this teeny baby and now it's really big. And I feel like it's a member of my family. And I rebacked it with a new backing this weekend. And so now it just adds this whole dimension to life. And I'm saying this to you because I love telling you little idiosyncratic weirdnesses about my life at the beginning of the podcast because you all write to me and tease me about it, which makes me happy. But also because I want to bring attention to this thing that is when you put time and energy into something that could be considered a menial task, but you enjoy it, what it does is it both gives you, or maybe I'll just speak for myself, it gives me this feeling of presence, of being a human in a body right in the moment that oftentimes we don't naturally have. So for instance, I'll go through a grocery store line and I'll ask the person that is checking me out, how's your day going? And so often, like 90% of the time, or maybe not that much, but maybe 80% of the time, people tell me how much longer they have in their day because they can't wait to get through it. And this happens so often with work days and work weeks, right? People are like, oh, the weekend's almost here. And it always flabbergasts me that we are rushing through our lives and then complaining that life is short. Like, don't you think we should be doing anything we can to be in the days that we are in? And so I think of this one time. Right after my first baby was born, my husband and I were at this little house that we lived in with a big orange tree in the back and a bathtub because we were moving down from Costa Mesa when we first got pregnant, living with a musician, the keyboardist and guitarist in RX Bandit. His name is Steve Choi, and he actually wrote the music for this podcast for me. I commissioned it from him. We're living with him. Wonderful human being, by the way. And we were up there, we got pregnant, and I said, hey, I just want to find a house that has a bathtub that I can labor in with this baby and an orange tree in the backyard. So 2 days later, I look at the newspaper, you know, or newspaper, what century am I in? I think it was actually maybe a newspaper, or maybe it was Craigslist. It was probably Craigslist. And I saw this ad for this house with an orange tree in a bathtub. And I literally, it was 6 a.m. and I got in my car and I drove straight down to San Diego from Orange County, which is like 2 hours and maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I get there and I was the first one to get there. I filled out the application. I put a down payment down and I got the house. My credit wasn't that great at that time. And she gave it to me and she said, you know, this is kind of like, I don't know why I'm giving this to you. Your credit's not that great. I said, come on, man, I'm pregnant. I really want to have a baby in this house. And she said, okay. So she gives us the house. And the next day she calls me and she says, you are so damn lucky you drove down here, because in the hours after I signed that paper, so many people showed up in email and calls that make a lot more money than you do and that, you know, have a lot better credit for this tiny little house in San Diego. So we got the house, and because I sort of like just followed it and went for what I wanted because I saw the orange tree. So we're there in the house, wonderful house, so many memories from that house, and we have the baby in the house. And my husband's frontman from the band he toured in, the band is called No Motive, and his frontman, his name is Jeremy, came to stay with us for a little bit. Jeremy did the dishes for us because we cooked him dinner. And he's there washing the dishes and he's smiling and he's just kind of looking off and out the window. And I look over at my husband and I was like, look at Jeremy. He was so happy just doing the dishes. And I always think of that moment when I'm doing dishes or I'm folding laundry or I'm repotting plants. And I just think about how I can be more present, feeling the water on my skin, feeling this sensation of like suds and bubbles drying and like watching the water droplets come off of the plate. How can I enjoy standing during that time when I sit for a lot of my day? How can I enjoy with the potting, my hands in the earth, the temperature of the air around me? So there's all of these ways that we can slow down in our daily practice. But the other thing that these tasks do for us is add another dimension to what we notice and observe in our lives. So as I walk around my house right now, I'm like, dang, that plant looks good. She is hot right now. That plant is flirting with me because they're so peppy, you know, because I just gave them this fertilizer and this water and these new pots. So I love how when we go and we weed the garden, then we notice for like a couple of weeks how beautiful the garden looks because it's weeded. When I got a new roof on my house, I was all about that roof for a while. It's like, notice, dang, that's a hot roof. When I drove home, I don't notice roofs, you know, but I just love how we can add a dimension to our appreciation of life with these small details of things that we're doing in the day to day. So I ask you, how might that be true for you? What are the small moments of menial tasks that you do in your life that you could either slow down and enjoy more because you're a human in a body, or that after you do them, and maybe it's more of an and, after you do them, what's that dimension that you've added to your life that just brings you a little bit more joy, appreciation, that ability, our subjectivity being objectively intended, that ability to call something more fully into being by noticing its beauty as you walk around the world with your unique, incredible, one-of-a-kind eyes and perspective and heart. Come see my stag fern, plant one of your own, or maybe do something else that gives you that feeling of presence. All right, today we're going to talk about kicking off relationships, because when we are putting any idea into the world, as I've talked about before, there's usually a lot of collaboration that comes into it. And a lot of people that are in the Bloom Room or working with me one-on-one part of them, half of them maybe, are either starting or building businesses. The other half are working on something totally different, like a creative project or just mindset balance, whatever they're trying to change about their life or evolve about their life or themselves. Maybe it's their concept of themselves, their confidence, their okayness, being in every moment, their sense of happiness, or maybe it's really something that they're building and putting into the world. Well, this set of ideas I'm going to share with you today is applicable both to relationships that you're starting if you actually are in a work environment. And a lot of my people that I support are bosses or leaders or business owners. And so they have employees and others don't. And this works for them too. And here's why. What I'm going to talk to you about is setting ground rules and having sort of a kickoff conversation in relationships. And here's why I love this so much. I was a manager, a boss, a leader in an organization for a long time. And what we would do in this organization is we would have kickoff meetings with our people when we first started with them. We would sit down with a cup of coffee or tea, take time, set time aside, and sit down with the people that we worked with that were going to work for us. So as a vice president in this organization, anybody that I hired to be on my team, I would set aside an hour or maybe even 90 minutes and I would just chill with them. And I would send them a bunch of questions ahead of time and then I would just listen and we'd talk through their answers together for about 90 minutes. I did this for tons and tons of people. And the questions that I asked were basically about communication preferences and how to get the best of them. Like, when does the best of you come out and when does the worst of you come out? And how will I know the difference? And what do you need when you're at your best? And what do you need when you're at your worst, right? And the wild idea here is that, like, why don't we do this in every relationship? Do marriages start out like this? I wish they did. Do friendships start out like this? You know, if we all took the time to say, hey, if I have a problem with something or kind of upset about something, how should I talk to you about it? Right? If we took the time to understand people's preferences, it's amazing because we know it's like a user manual for that person. We know what works for them. We know what doesn't work for them. We know how to not trigger them. We know what it looks like when they're stressed. So I'm going to share this process with you. And here's a story. So there was a woman that worked for me for 4 or 5 years. And I left this organization to start my coaching practice. And when we did, I had these sort of going away meetings with each one of my people to close out. And we sat down and we celebrated, we gave each other feedback, shared memories. And she said, my best, most amazing experience with you was our kickoff meeting. And I said, what? Because, you know, that was way at the beginning. I'm like, wait, I didn't do anything as good as that since then, you know? I mean, joking. But she says, yeah, the kickoff meeting, because it changed my life. And I said, how did it change your life? She said, I have never had someone sit down with me at the beginning of a relationship and invest so much in making sure the relationship was going to be good. I was like, wow. She said, ever since you kicked off with me like that as my boss, I started doing that in every personal relationship too. Amazing, right? She said, I did it with my husband. I did it with a bunch of my friends. I did it with my sisters. And it made everything so much more smooth and wonderful. And so here today, we're going to talk about what kinds of questions you can use in an environment like this. You can sit down with someone like your partner, a love interest, a good friend, a child even, or of course, your boss. You could ask to do this with them, colleagues. You can do it in a group. You could do it in a women's group or a men's group or a humans group that you have where everybody learns about each other. I'm on a board of trustees, which I've mentioned before. I'm going to have us do this together. It's something I wish we all did when we started in on a relationship. Have everyone answer these questions or think about these questions in advance and then sit down and talk them through. So the questions are organized into a few different categories. The first one, and remember, this is sort of like taken from a work environment and can be adapted to a personal environment. So I'm going to talk about both. How do you learn and how do you process information? So the reason we ask that is because there are slow processors and fast processors. I've gotten into big trouble, y'all, because I think too fast for some people. And then I skip taking them through my reasoning for how I got somewhere to a conclusion. And they feel like, I'm not tracking. I don't know what you're talking about right now. So it's really helpful to know when someone processes slowly. Then you can check in and say, need more time for that? What do you think? You can send, you know, give people decisions that you need to make. You can give them longer to think about them, whether that's someone that you work with or whether you're planning a trip with someone. And you know they don't make decisions quickly. You can send them those things, the decisions, the things to think about, and give them a week to think about it because you know they process more slowly. You can ask what works best for you in terms of how you like to collaborate or make decisions. You can ask about that because they might like to talk things out, process things out loud. They might like to really take a long time on decisions. They might like to make decisions quickly. Can you imagine if, as couples that are leading families, whether we're married, separated, not engaged romantically at all, but just like co-parenting, whatever ways, if we started having these conversations, how much easier things would be? What if we asked, are you more action or process oriented? Are you visual or auditory or experiential? How do you learn? Then we just know that somebody else is going to maybe not get all the details if they look at a visual map, let's say, because they actually need to drive somewhere. They're an experiential learner. They need to drive somewhere in order to really remember the road, right? So these are all questions that you can ask about someone's brain. How do they think? How do they process information? How do they learn? My husband, he is a self-taught human being. I'm a school person. I have many, many, many years of school and training. He is self-taught and he is brilliant at finding answers out by Googling. He's very, very resourceful. I take classes and read books. I have conversations too, but my husband researches. I don't have a research brain. He has a research brain, or I guess we have different research brains. But once I realized that, it made it a lot more fun to sort of decide who was going to find out information we needed so we could lean into our strengths instead of drive each other crazy, asking each other to do things that aren't in line with how we learn. All right. So that's learning style. Communication style is so important. This is so important for both work and play and personal lives. I love to ask everybody, if we're going to have a hard conversation, or I'm going to tell you about something that didn't work for me, or I'm going to give you some feedback, or I'm going to tell you like something that rubbed me the wrong way, what do you want me to say about that? Do you want me to say, hey, can we sit down and talk? Or is that going to fill you with anxiety? Do you want me to give you a heads up that I have something more serious to talk about so that you can get in the right mindset? Or do you not want me to because it'll make you anxious? Super helpful. Some people would prefer to read feedback. Some people want to read it and process it and then talk about it. Some people want it straight up, direct, as clear as possible. Some people want it soft and gentle. What if we didn't have to test that out and get in big fights or disagreements? What if we asked each other ahead of time and could skip the part that's extra hard where we learn by doing? All right, what about preferences for communicating via text or Zoom or email or in person or phone? What about like how often you want to stay connected? Do you want to, what if with your friends, you were like, what do you want? Do you want to text every day? Or do you want to text like once a week? Is it stressful to text every day? Some people have that expectation that you'll constantly be in connection. And other people feel like it's stressful because they're not getting back to you. If you can just check in on preferences, personal relationships are a lot more successful. And then of course, working relationships are really successful because you know you're not bugging someone, you're doing what they want. Okay, we got two more here. One is work habits and schedule. So in a personal level, maybe you tell your friends, hey, the way your friends or your partners or community members, you say, hey, I cannot respond to any email or text or anything personal between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. And then I'm going to be with my kids. So I'll be a little spotty, but I do have freedom at night after they go to bed. So you'll probably hear back from me at like 9 p.m. What if they just knew that and you just kind of had that conversation? Maybe you're somebody that does not respond to texts right away, and that's a point of pride. Maybe you always respond to things right away, so you prefer that people only reach out to you when it's really important. All of this is so helpful because other people, it removes the mystery and removes the conflict before it happens. And then the very last topic here that I want to share, that I always, you know, have this conversation with workmates and people that work for me, but also how amazing would it be if you did this with people in your personal life? Share what you value and what matters most to you. Is it directness? Is it honesty? Is it kindness? Is it contribution? Is it beauty? Is it fun? Is it that everything is a little bit playful? Is it that we don't take ourselves too seriously? Is it that we're having a positive impact? What is it? What cultural norms do you want to tell other people about? Is that from your family culture, your ethnic heritage? Is that from just societies that you've been in? What is that? What are cultural norms? Some examples of this are some people feel like it's important to smile and nod when someone else is talking because that's a cultural norm. Other people don't. Some people have a familial practice of interrupting each other a lot. For others, they have a cultural norm that you do not interrupt other people, and that's very offensive, right? There's all kinds of things that we could talk about there. Endless things. What do you want to share with people that will help them understand you a little bit more? What if we asked other people, what do you bring? What are your gifts? What are your strengths? What do people misunderstand about you? What are your quirks? Any pet peeves that you have? What do you do in your free time? And how can people help you when you're not at your best? How can I tell when you're stressed out? How will I get the best of you? How can I bring out the best of you and support the best in you? And what will I do that will bring out the worst in you? For me, when someone is just very blaming and raises their voice, that I walk away. That's the worst. You're going to get the worst of me if you raise your voice and are accusatory. I'm going to peace out and tell you, you come back and talk to me later. What is it for you? All right. So this is sort of this big bucket of these different areas of questions that you can ask to kick off a relationship, to set some ground rules even. Based off of what you learn from each other, you can set some ground rules in your relationship. Okay. So you love getting texts all the time, and I really don't like that. So let's say, and I would rather check in once a week. So let's say our ground rule is that we check in like 3 times a week. And that's a good middle ground, and that you don't expect me to text you right back. You're not going to take it personally if I don't text you right back because I don't like to feel like I'm on a leash, right? So you set some ground rules and then you avoid a lot of confusion and hurt. And of course, I gave you a lot of ideas here because I'm an idea factory over here. But maybe you just take one or two of these. What are the things that would make the biggest difference for you in your work relationships, in your home relationships, in your relationships with your kids, if you have them, or friends that you've had for a long time, but there's some rub that comes up? What do you want to take from this? Choose one or two of the questions and put them into practice this week. And then email me and tell me what happens. Kicking off relationships, setting ground rules, blooming it from the start. That's what I've got for you this week. And I will see you next week. Thanks for hanging out with me, friends. If you like today's episode and you want more of them, please take 2 minutes right now to subscribe and give me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Then send this episode to a friend. See you next time.